we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm joined by Karen Stewart, owner of Blue Line Hair Studio in Holland. Karen's been a part of Reopen Bucks since literally day one. Her story is rather unique, as she has been a strong supporter of freedom of choice and respecting others' decisions in an industry where that can be very difficult. Welcome, Karen. Thanks for joining.
Hello.
First question, Blue Line Hair Studio. So the name implies, I see the banner outside has the thin blue line, mm-hmm. implies you're probably patriotic.
Yes.
What's the history behind the name?
Well, when I first opened, I couldn't think of a name. And it was during the time of hands up, don't shoot. Everything was talking about that. So a lot of my Facebook news feed was blue line this, blue line that. But I was trying so hard to come up with a name that was catchy that people would remember. But that was just stuck in my head because it's all it was on. It was all, especially with my interest, my family's police officers. So it stuck. And that's what I decided to call it.
Good deal. Well,
so, yeah.
You find yourself in early 2020 with this COVID pandemic hit. You are a business owner, mm-hmm. which the business owners who have been on the podcast so far, I don't think I've had the chance to say that, like, myself not being a business owner, have no clue what you guys are going through at that time, especially with the unknown of everything that's like, mm-hmm. how long is this going to be?
Well, I found out on the radio the day before we had to close that I was closing. So there was a whole bunch of people in here, and I was, you know, listening to it here and there. The kids had been called out, sent from school, and I heard it. And I was like, everybody shut up. Did they just say my business is going to close for 2 weeks? So, yeah, that's how I found out. And then so I said, I'm not closing my business. They're out of their minds. But sure enough, everybody started to call and cancel their appointments, and I was panicking. So the next day, I closed. I had to. And I opened only to take phone calls so that people could come and buy gift cards because I needed to meet my payroll and all my obligations for the, you know, for the week and the month. So thankfully, a lot of my, like, loyal clients came in and bought gift cards so that I could meet my expenses for that week.
Yeah. And this time frame is, like, March before there's talk of, well, how are we going to make it right? Like, are there going to be grants? Is there going to be handouts, bailouts, all the different things that
would
happen later?
We didn't know any of it because I think they went on the radio or on TV. Trump was on TV like a day or two later talking about the loans and the grants. I still didn't trust it. I didn't trust that they were going to follow through on any of that. And they actually did. So I got lucky. It actually helped a lot.
So then when you flash forward to by the time Reopen Bucks is on the scene, like I mentioned, you were actually May 7th, which is the very first day of Reopen Bucks.
Number 12.
So, number 12. Oh, my goodness. It does not get more OG than number 12. So you find the group. First of all, any interesting story there? Like, how did you find the group?
A friend of mine invited me to it. She knew I was losing my mind because it was May. Mm-hmm. So I had been closed for 2 weeks or so. Oh, 2 months. Oh, yeah, 2 months. Well, I kind of really wasn't because I was here, like, working. So I painted and, like, rearranged things, and I couldn't stay away from my business for that long. It just felt wrong.
I mean,
it's
your baby, right?
It's hard to stay away from it. So I was in here, and she knew I was going nuts. And I think, well, the first thing I did when they shut us down was find out everything I could find out about coronaviruses. So I was like a scientist for a couple of days. And then I went and found everything I could about those loons. And I started applying for the loons and the grants and everything, like, 24 hours a day. That's all I did, look into it, read into it. So, and then, God, I can't believe it was even that long. I was nuts by then. Panic is stricken. And then I found you guys. I was like, oh, my God, there's people who think like me.
Well, it's interesting to bring up. You were 12. Most people, their story is like by the time they join, there's at least hundreds, if not thousands, where there's a lot of group discussion and activity. If you join when you're number 12, you're like,
okay, what are these knuckleheads doing? Like, it's a dozen people in a room together.
No, but I was just grateful to find somebody who wasn't treating it like a vacation. So, yeah, I was thrilled to... I was thrilled to death to find you guys. I was so great. I remember running up to you being like, oh my gosh, thank you for doing this. And you were on the phone, and I felt terrible for that. But
oh, at the courthouse, I remember
I was so excited that you guys were there. I don't even think I knew your real name yet.
One of the big things in the story that made us choose to cut a hard path towards civil disobedience, and for me, made me choose to just come out and make my own social media accounts. You mentioned I was using kind of a pseudonym at the time, Nick Andrews. It was you guys. It was all the people who were like, thank you so much. Just very thankful for the platform and we were all trying to do stuff together. But like I said, I had no idea what it was like because I couldn't relate. I don't have my own business. So living through that experience, I was like, okay, I got to put something on the line here to at least try and help out. And I think the way the group went was largely directed by, we just continually saw that people who just kind of fought back and chose, okay, I'm going to do what I think I need to do or what I think is right now, typically were the people who had the best experiences along the way.
Afterwards, you mean? Or during? I guess so, because we weren't willing to give up. Although it's still not done. I mean, there's still, I feel like the recovery process for businesses is still going to be long, especially those of us who had to take loans. It's not done for us.
Like, you're still paying. I mean, so there were PPP loans, right? Which I can't recall exactly, but a lot of it was supposed to be like forgiven if it was used for payroll and things like that.
Yes, they were forgiven, but I did use every dime for payroll. So, and I paid like more than I had to first of all, it was so confusing when that all first came out. Like it was, there were such strict guidelines for how you had to use the money. And at one point, it made it impossible for me to follow. I wasn't open, and I was paying my employees. The rules were, like, I was one of the first people to get it. So they were like, the taxes for the payroll, which is huge, didn't count toward it. So I was like, oh, no, they made it impossible for me to meet this guideline. So,
because,
they
like, you'd be on the hook for taxes, benefits,
yes, it was all on, like, the taxes didn't count toward the total amount of money that I had to pay out, that I did pay out. So it was very confusing, and they fixed it. So I had, instead of 6 weeks to use all the money, they made it 24 weeks. Then I was thinking I was going to be able to at least earn back some of the money that I paid out already. I messed up because I didn't know what was going on. I should have held on to some of it.
It's a good point that this, in March when they did it, they just did it because everybody needed to do something there in the 2 weeks to fly on the curve, whatever, but there was never really a good plan in place. So all of this was so haphazard that by the time it got to like, okay, payroll needs to be made by all these different businesses, they're just slapping crap together, throwing whatever at the wall, but it was not, I'd be willing to bet that you were not the only person who like had to stick stuff together from different pieces in order to make it all work.
Right. I didn't know what was going to happen because I thought, oh gosh, they gave me this loan under certain conditions, but the forgiveness is where they could adjust it they can give you a loan and they have to follow the contract of the loan, but the forgiveness was what was flexible. So I still distrusted them and I was thinking, oh, they're going to do everything to not have me, like, not have this be forgiven. But they did. It did work out. They adjusted everything, made the rules very easy for it to be forgiven.
What about a big part of it was strings being attached to all that money in terms of you have to follow every COVID rule, like potentially forever. Did that play out with you or
no,
is that not really part of
it? Not for me, but for the grants, people were getting Bucks County grants and all that, and then you had to agree to follow, which I've never really got any of those grants, but they came with strings. But the federal money didn't. No, it just came with conditions upon forgiveness, and they were too tight for anybody to follow to meet in the beginning. So I was stressed out about that. But thankfully they fixed that. So I every penny I got, like, to pay the employees, I did pay every dime to my employees though.
Now, while that is going on, you know, money flying around and you're figuring it out as the owner, what about from the employee's perspective? Like, I know a really big thing at the time was unemployment.
Yeah.
And in some cases, people were just like, don't even worry about paying me. I can go get, you know, whatever I need on unemployment or whatever. Or in some cases, trying to, like, double up, and just a lot of craziness because unemployment was being handed out like candy. Obviously, it needed to be, I think. But that just threw a whole wrench in the crazy dynamic, especially once you go to start to figure out, okay, we're going to open at some point here. I can't remember when salons went, probably like
26th of July. 26th. That's when we were allowed to open. Yeah, or June. No, June, sorry. 26th of June.
Green phase.
Yep. Yeah. But only 50% capacity, and you had to have everything sanitized. But for me, that was a problem with the PPP thing because I thought I had to start paying my employees within 2 weeks of disbursement of that money. And so I started to, and I was giving them a larger than normal, like average paycheck. I averaged out everybody what they made for the year and then, you know, added a little bit to it. But that extra $600 a week, I could never have done that. And there was a little bit of contention because everybody was mad at me for paying them that smaller amount than they were getting on unemployment. But there was nothing I could do because I needed to take that loan out so that I could pay the rent here. So it was such a mess. But it did work out. I'm lucky I have very good staff that was understanding that I had to do what I had to do to keep the bills paid.
Yeah. And that's a big part of it, too, is your industry. I feel like this is actually something that makes you really unique within the whole Reopen Bucks story. Mm-hmm. Is because of things that would happen in the first couple weeks of the group. There wasn't really a lot of badass salons or barbershops. I remember like you, Nicole Messino was one who has Giovanni's barbershop.
Yeah, I went out there to see her.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were some, but the industry, I would say at large, was just very, what's the word I want to use? Like compliant.
Well, they were afraid of getting their licenses taken.
Oh, cosmetology.
Yeah.
How does that even work? So they were saying, we're going to pull your cosmetology licenses if you work. And that's on an individual basis. Like you're as one, what, hairstylist?
Yeah. Well, each stylist has a license and then the salon has a license. I don't know how they would keep you from opening another business with another license, another name. I guess, I don't know, but that's what they were doing. And the stylists, I guess, were afraid of having their licenses revoked and not being able to get another one. So they were scared. They were scared to, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you aware of, I mean, we would find out after the fact that, I mean, there was a lot going on under the hood before June 26th, like you said, when it finally went green, there was still a lot of hair being done in the
intervening
months.
Yeah, in their houses.
So to your awareness, did anybody actually get licensure taken away or
any
issues
on that? I don't
think so.
Do you know anybody that did? No, not in this business.
I am aware of a couple, like, I can't remember the name of it. I want to say it's Dragonflies up in Percosy was a small salon. They had, I think something that I repeatedly heard is that it kind of comes down to, like, your relationship with your inspector or your the person who like reps your area,
right?
Because they had someone come in who just constantly was giving them crap. This was much later after we were open, but they were just doing everything without masks, and I guess their inspector, I don't even know what it is, what you would call them, but the person would come in and threaten their licenses and everything all about masks. But even that,
I can get away with that because that doesn't fall under our licensure. That's not one of the things you get a fine for. That is that what, maybe that's what they did. I don't know.
I mean, they just straight up all across the board in every industry, they just made up whatever they wanted and threw it at the wall.
They did.
And then said, oh, if you don't follow this, you know, your
well,
insurance will be canceled.
People were calling the police on me because I didn't have masks on people
wild.
3 times.
So, and there's just another, such a big part of, I came here and got a haircut from you pretty early on.
I remember.
You had employees wearing masks, giving haircuts to people who were wearing masks. You had some who weren't. There was choice in your salon, and that was kind of rare at the time.
I know, it was scary.
So you had police called on you because of that?
Yes. Yep.
Wild. And did the police respond? They come out and they're,
I mean,
like,
they had to respond to the call,
and they see a
nice
Blue Line hair studio and they probably know you.
They seemed like, to me. So they were laughing about it, but they still came out. I mean, they had to come out, it's their job, they had to clear the job. So, but they thought it was ridiculous, but yeah, they had to come out and say, well, we heard you didn't have any. We, you have people walking around with no masks on. They have big, like, you know, they caught one of them called from the back, from out back. And was like, I'm clearing your job. Did you have somebody call and say that people in there didn't have a mask on?
Oh, that's
on?
Cool. Because they didn't want to, like, come in the front, cause a scene or whatever. They're like, look, we're back here. Just come say hi.
Hi, cool. It would have caused a commotion.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
So what about with, we talked about like the Board of Cosmetology, the police. What about with the health department? You ever get a visit from?
Nope.
They don't really have any jurisdiction over what you guys do or don't do?
I don't know. I don't have any licensure from, I don't have any certs from the health department, just from the State Board of Cosmetology. But they never came in. They never said anything. I was in here working. You know, I was here. I opened May 30th. Doors open, music playing, people coming and going through the front door, because I am not a sneak. And I decided I was going to open. They were burning Philadelphia to the ground. There was no way I was going to not work if they were going to burn my hometown to the ground and not get in trouble for that. But I was going to get arrested for working? That's insane. So.
Well, you did have, I mean, it's so crazy and hard to think back to actually relate to everything we were going through. Because you're right, at that time, marches in the streets, all the craziness going on. They did arrest that one business owner in Texas, like actually put her in jail, Shelley Luther or whatever. Like, you really never knew. So looking back on it now, it's easy to say, like, yeah, we looked and nobody here really had too much of terrible outcomes. But it was the fear of the unknown. And especially not even knowing, like, when are they going to let up? When can life go back to normal? It just was,
it was nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah, to think it even now doesn't seem like it could possibly have been real, but it was real. Yeah, because I don't know. I was a little nervous. Like, it left a knot in my stomach every day just waiting for somebody to come in and say something, or waiting for somebody, like, even the general public at that time was, like, pissed at each other for not wearing a mask in a store 50 feet away from the only other person in the store. They're yelling back and forth. So I was a little nervous about it, but not nervous enough to not do it.
Well, I love the bit you said about, like, I'm not going to hide away and I'm just going to do what I think is right and have the door open, because I do know there was a lot of hair being done that's like
behind the curtains.
Yeah, we'll go over to people's houses, this and that, a lot of it done in garages, like that was all over the place.
Yep.
You weren't gonna go months without hair getting
that done. Were suffering were the owners of the businesses, because the stylists were doing just fine doing hair at home, which I don't begrudge anybody that. I don't blame them. They're making money when they can, but it hurt us. It hurt the business. Even now, there are still people doing hair at home for clients that they brought home. I mean,
that's something I never thought of that. Like, a long-term ramification is if people had a couple of appointments where the stylist came to their house, why would they ever want to do anything else besides that?
Because then the stylist keeps 100% of the money. They have a little bit. They have very little overhead if they have a little home salon. They're not getting in trouble for it. Like, I don't begrudge anybody that. I like people to be free and do what they want to do. Yeah. So,
well, it leads into a really good talking point, which hopefully comes out of this, which is like, we need licensure reform big time.
It's extortion.
It's total extortion.
It's extortion.
That's the perfect word for it.
We don't have to do anything to keep up with our licensure, nothing but pay the government. So we have to pay, and the price of it keeps going up of our licensure. We don't have to have, they don't come in here and inspect. They come in here and check and make sure we have licenses, but they don't look around and make sure that we follow any of the rules that they make up. They don't. It's extortion. I hate it.
Yeah.
But I'm in the minority for that. Most licensed business occupations support it because they don't think of it the same way I do.
Well, we go over to another license that was extremely impactful to the way it played out in Pennsylvania, which is the liquor licenses.
Those poor guys.
They value, like, you know, it's a multi-$100,000 investment for these people.
Yep.
So they love the licensure. That to them, it's their value. So how would you ever, like, get rid of that? And I can see that. But for the most part, it's fair to say that it was always the licenses that were weaponized against people. If that wasn't done, and that's so wrong, because in none of the licensing was there ever anything about a public health disaster or a disease or anything like that. It was ridiculous. It was totally made up.
Yeah, it was.
I hope someday we'll see massive lawsuits or something.
It's never going to happen. Everybody's grateful to be back in business.
That's true.
Yep.
So what does that look like? I mean, we're 2 years now. I guess 2 year anniversary of when you joined the group on day one is going to be.
Oh, yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah. So 2 years on, are things like back to normal, or is it still kind of fluctuating in and out? I'd imagine it's highly dependent on like what's going on with COVID. You know, if you have a spike, you get cancellations and stuff because people want to wait, or.
It depends on what's going on in the news. It doesn't really depend on people, because people are still getting the same amount of, don't you think? They're still like, well, you had a post up, right? That
COVID
things are, So it's up. It only depends if people are, if what the news says. That's what I, as far as I can see.
We're sitting here on, it's May 1st, I think. And so I went back and looked at the month of April and saw, oh, huh, imagine that. Cases are up threefold, three and a half fold. I didn't hear a peep about that. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares.
Well, they need to shut up.
Right. And then I thought, I did think that. I was like, I don't want to let them know.
Let's not bring it to any attention.
But yeah, like, hey, cases are up and we're still doing good. Like, just let it ride the way Florida did, the way other countries did. Like, you can be fine.
I wonder if they're going to keep it in their pocket until a more convenient time. And then we'll talk about COVID numbers again. I just read something about the variants again. They're bringing up variants on the news.
Such a target demographic when you're talking about stuff like that. Because I could not, all of us in Reopen Bucks, I could not imagine that we could possibly care any less than about a variant.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Well, still, like, I don't know, you still... still see a lot of people that come in here still have the masks on and all that while they're getting their hair done. And I respect that. I think, you sure. know, you do what you want to do. If you're scared of being sick, then or sometimes people say, oh, I had a cough this morning and I didn't want anybody to feel nervous.
I respect that. I've told before on this podcast, my only experience ever getting heckled in a mask situation was when I had a pretty bad cold and I wanted to go get cold medicine at the grocery store. So I'm like, Josh Hogan, the Reopen guy, I don't want anyone to take pictures of me with an obvious cold walking around in a grocery store. So I'm just going to wear a mask, do the right thing. Like, I feel like this is an okay outcome of the whole thing. And I'm walking around and some guy, this is up in Upper Bucks, totally is like, oh, hey, you look like an idiot with that. Like, heckles me. And I'm like, okay, awesome. This is fantastic.
I've thought that about every single person. Yeah.
But I would. I totally respect. I mean, especially if you're going to wear it because you're feeling under the weather and want to be respectful of others. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, here's a question for you. You see, have a lot of customers come in. Some of them are going to still be doing the mask thing. Have you seen a shift in the mask wearing away from like cloth towards, are people now doing more wearing masks that are protective of them, like N95 style and stuff?
More are, I think. That's from good. What I've seen, it's more medical, except for the kids. Like younger, like high school aged kids, they still, I notice they're coming in with them on, like those pretty ones.
So for them, it's more like style and.
Maybe they are used to it. I don't know why. I never ask. I don't know. I know there was one boy in here and he kept pulling at his, he did not have a mask on, but he's like 15 or so and he kept adjusting it and it wasn't even on his face and he said it. Because I noticed him playing with his face. I didn't know why he was. And he's like, oh, I don't have that on my face, and I'm still fixing it. My heart, it's squashed.
Wild.
Yeah, I felt so bad for him. And I was like, well, you'll get used to not having it on fast, I hope.
Ooh.
Psychological warfare. Yeah. Yep. But business is back to normal. People are great. Even people who sit here, they come and sit. Like, people sit here where we are right now with a mask on sometimes, and they'll even lift it and drink a drink out, and it's so crazy to me. But they don't bother us for not wearing them. They don't look weird. Everybody seems to be, like, comfortable with either or now, thankfully.
I feel like it's softened my heart up a little bit because you go back to, like, fall of 2020, man, I was vehemently against every single mask I saw in the world. It was masks were the pandemic. Masks were the enemy.
They were the symbol.
Mm-hmm. Right, the symbol, exactly. And now I'm like, what we are today, I'm okay with this.
Me too.
I'm totally okay with it. I respect it. People can just respect each other's choices. And by and large, you don't really ever see or hear of issues anywhere, really.
No. Every once in a while when somebody looks particularly crazy, I get angry, and I think to myself, you're the bastard who's going to force me to put a mask on again. You're the asshole who's going to cause me to fight. And then I think that might be a little bit of PTSD. Mm. That's all, though. Otherwise, I respect the people's decisions to do whatever they want with their face.
Yeah, you did a great job with that.
Face.
I mean, to make it through the whole thing with that, it's actually pretty impressive.
Oh, thanks.
Especially in your industry. I mean, I think that's particularly impressive.
Oh, my stomach was in knots the entire time, though. I would not force people to put a mask on in this business, but I requested it sometimes. Like, please, guys, please, so I can just not be sick to my stomach all day today. But I never forced anybody. Mm. Never. I wouldn't. I would never do that.
Now, you had said something to me I'd always remember this. This is like one of the most impactful things someone said to me along the Reopen Bucks journey, probably like a week or two into the group when we're all talking like crazy. This was when there was a lot of frenetic energy about the salon industry. Mm-hmm. And you had said, you know, honestly, Josh, it's right now not even about getting open because we'll all make it, we'll figure it out. It's about making sure that they can never do this to us ever again.
No. And we were at the playground, weren't we? Was that at the playground? We were cutting the, you guys were so fun with that. I thought that was so much fun because I never cut any of it down because I'll cheer you on, but I don't have the balls to do anything like that on my own. So, but yeah, that's scary because that's what I feel like that government is the one who makes the rules. And if we just go right ahead and follow the rules, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to let them know what rules they can exactly. make. And that's not what happened this time. But then again, I was thinking about that later on, and it did, because more people supported this than not.
That's true. That's
but it was based
true.
On such misinformation. So.
We were in the minority. And I look at it as like there's a bell curve of how long it takes for people to see it. We were on like the cutting edge, very early adopters of like, okay, well, you can just live with this. We're going
to
live with it.
You had
Most people waited until much later. And now you're at the far end of the bell curve where you have the stragglers who are, you know,
they're
the only
scared.
People left playing are like the last of the last Mohicans to come through.
But now, no, though, some people think that right now we're safe only because of the season. But when it comes back into the fall, they'll have them back. They'll be scared again, and I hope it's not that way, but I get the feeling it is going to be.
There's a lot of time between now and when cases spike in the fall. Like we mentioned, since cases are going up now, they'll go up to like a little level and kind of bounce around throughout the summer. But obviously when we see massive spikes in the fall and winter, hopefully there's enough time between now and then that people will just like kind of release, let down their guard, let it ride, like just day by day, let it ride. When you get it, just you'll get a cold, you know. Maybe worse for some people. Most people at this point, vaccinated or have had it, like the vast majority of people at this point have some form of immunity. So I'm pretty hopeful that we can just day by day let it ride and get through the fall.
I hope you're
maybe
right.
Maybe I'm naive.
Maybe you're not. Maybe it's over this part.
But we go back to like trying to figure out how to never let this happen again. There was something specifically and right here in Pennsylvania that happened that hasn't happened anywhere else. We're the only state in the union to amend our constitution to say government can never do this again.
Yeah, that's good news. But you know, that happened early on too, that not super early on, but they did take away the emergency declaration at one point. But it was never reported on the news. So it's like a proverbial tree in the forest. If a law is passed and the news isn't around to report it, then did it really pass?
Yeah.
Like, so they won't, it has to be treated that way. Because we were all excited. I don't remember exactly what, I think they ended the emergency declaration,
right?
It was
when, yeah, so Mastriano and others, they voted House Resolution 836 to end the declaration. And that was middle of summer 2020. And they did it. They passed it. But Wolf claimed, well, it needs to be, this resolution needs to be approved by me. Otherwise, if I veto it, then it doesn't count. And
that
went to the Supreme Court. And then the Supreme Court sided with him.
But for like a week.
Yeah, it was out
there. We had him free. Yeah.
And I was very frustrated with politicians at that time that, like, you need to lead. You need to go out there and say, as of right now, this is what we believe, so live your lives and like push, rather than wait for the Supreme Court to, you know, firm up Wolf's position.
Right.
Push. But
because nobody knew
did.
It was going on.
But
only
I think it's more to your point,
attention.
The politicians, they're always looking at the Overton window. They're not looking at what's the right thing to do right now. And I think still, even at that time, there were so many more people who were still mired in fear and wanting all this stuff to go on. So it just went right on by, and then it wouldn't be until that amendment, like almost a year later,
right,
where we finally did that, and then it would come to an end.
Thankfully. Well, that's one of the things that scared me so much was, like, it was so easy for them. It was easy for them to manipulate numbers. It was easy for them to scare the heck out of people, and it was so easy for people to just treat it like a vacation. They were being handed money. They were enjoying themselves. They could not see the long-term implications and ramifications of all of it. It was so frustrating for me.
and the disparate impact. I mean, you mentioned a lot of stylists out there can go give haircuts at home, wall collecting, pay for wall collecting unemployment. Like, it was kind of a good time for a lot of people, but not for business owners.
No, at that time, yeah. But I mean, actually, that's kind of great that they did that. Anybody who worked here, I was kind of glad they were doing that at home, because then it kept their clients happy while they couldn't be here.
So you didn't have those clients coming in here to get their haircut. That makes sense.
Yeah, they weren't here, but they were somewhere with one of my staff. Or, I mean, I've never actually had a real conversation with anybody. It's kind of like an unspoken thing between us. But I know the people that work here were doing hair at home. They weren't. And I know they still do some, but that's between them. That's what they do at home is really not any of my business. I'm just happy they're still here.
That's pretty
working.
On brand for you and the way you ran things and the decisions you made.
It's the only way to be. Let people do what they want to do. Treat them well and let them do what they want to do, as far as I'm concerned. It's the only way to be.
So here's a last question for you. Salons in the state of Pennsylvania were the very last businesses in all of America to get to open up in terms of legally. Like, okay, Governor Wolf has given everybody the green light. How is that possible?
Was it us? Weren't the gyms past us? No?
Well, gyms were with you, but...
The same time?
Gyms are like the opposite of the salon industry in terms of... We had dozens of gyms in the very first wave open early. And then by December, when it was gyms and restaurants shut down that December, literally none of
them.
They
didn't pay attention.
Done.
Because gym owners are badass.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about. It's about fitness. And they see once their people come in, they're working out, there's no outbreaks, there's no COVID. So they're very clearly like, okay, I got to just continue doing this. It's in everybody's best interest, my people's best interest.
Right. Plus it's health. Exactly. It's your health. It didn't make any sense to close them at all.
That was a big turning point in the whole story. I feel like when Wolf tried to close gyms and restaurants in December, that was like,
everybody was
when
angry.
People were finally starting to, and then right after that, vaccines would come out, and it was like kind of downhill from there.
Yeah, I think because our business, we have to touch each other. Like, it's not like that where you can't make any distance at all. So the whole idea that we have to touch our clients is probably why they were able to hang on to us for just that much longer.
Probably the most widely cited study for why people should wear masks, it was a salon. I think also in Texas. I can't remember exactly, but it was two hairstylists who were sick with COVID. They had COVID. They figured it out after the fact. They had done however many dozens of people's hair, but wore a mask. And so none of the clients got COVID. And so that was held up as an observational, oh, look at this, like masks work perfectly because of these two. That was one of the primary. Yeah, I had our health director use that as his explanation to me for why everybody should be wearing masks. Kind of crazy.
It is, because I guess I didn't see that one, but there was one in Maryland that two of the girls, the one girl went in. Do you remember that? Well, you know why? Because they made a huge, big deal out of it. She went in. She knew she was sick. She went to work anyway. I don't remember if they mentioned if she had a mask on, but they just said exposed 50 people or whatever. So everybody was losing their minds because of this huge article and the big, grand headline, 50 people exposed to COVID. And I was like, so what, they're exposed? That does not mean they got it. Does it mean that, like, all of the people that were in the salon industry and did not want to open, they were all putting it on their Facebook feeds and all? And I was like, but exposed doesn't mean that everybody got it. It just means that this woman had it and that they were exposed. It was so sensationalized, but that's where we have to watch media reform.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's even a slippery slope, because how do we reform the media without being communist?
Well,
or
I'm getting behind Elon Musk buying
Twitter.
God, that's pretty
it.
Awesome.
Isn't that the greatest?
Yeah. There's hope. There's little rays of hope in there, but you're right. It's they pick and choose, and you alluded to it earlier with the cases. Like, cases are up right now, but media is not talking about it.
But they will.
So, what happens when they do? And that's, you're right. That's really just what it is. They can choose when to pile it on, and then people get scared, and away we go. They're able to take advantage of, like, that herd mentality that happens when a lot of people are watching the same thing on the news and not thinking for themselves.
Fear. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't. Yeah. Hopefully not. But I don't trust them. I don't trust them one bit.
Well, we will see. Fall's coming. It's going to happen again. I mean, year over year, this is just what's going to happen now. I feel like we're already now living in the post-COVID world. In terms of it's still with us, it's going to be with us forever. But the pandemic phase, the actual freaking out, doing all these absurd things,
is done.
That's got to be behind us. I've got to believe
right.
it.
I think you're right. Move on to the next crazy nonsense that they'll come up with.
Yeah. Yep. Never a short list
What's
of
it
nonsense.
Be?
Yeah. So
I'm grateful to have survived so far with my business since then. And my kids aren't brainwashed.
I'm glad you were a part of the Reopen Bucks story.
Oh,
and you've
my
been
God.
A great
I was so glad to find you guys. Oh, gosh. It was like, what? Oh, thank God. There's people who were in the same idea, same mindset as I am. Oh, so relieved.
Yeah.
I could have ran and hugged you guys, both of you. You and Carrie were sitting there. Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, now, you know, this group's grown to 10,000 people over the years, become a four. Like, we're doing all this crazy stuff everywhere. Now it's like, wow, a legit big-ass, badass community.
You did a good job bringing everybody together. That's you guys.
It's been a cool story.
Thank you.
Well, Karen, where can people find out more about the salon?
Blue Line Hair Studio. That's all. We're on Facebook. We're on, you can Google. We're here. I need stylists because we're booked solid.
Oh, really?
I do need stylists. I need good hairdressers. Even half booked. They don't even need to have a full book because I'm turning business away right now.
Mm.
And I haven't been able to work. But well, that would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining. Yeah,
Thank
we'll catch you,
you
later.